TRBI's Disciple Making Initiative. Train believers to become disciple makers who know God, model His character, and are able to build into others the life-changing principles of God's Word. Welcome to PRBI's Disciple Making Initiative podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's podcast is a bit of a different type of chapel interaction that we have for you. It's the faculty question and answer period. So this is where students get a chance to ask their teachers, essentially, questions that they've been thinking about, things about life, what they've been learning. So it's fun-loving, it's enjoyable. It's really interesting to hear what has been on the minds of the students. So hope you guys enjoy listening to the students speaking what they've been pondering.
PRBI donors strongly believe in investing in young people and want to support their desire to come to PRBI by giving $3,000 towards their tuition. Our PRBI friends and donors see the value of what PRBI offers to equip students with life-changing discipleship skills. They are committed to investing in young people, taking a leap of faith, and helping remove a significant part of the financial barrier that they may have in attending PRBI. Please help us spread the word of the Freshman 3000 to the people you know who may be interested in attending PRBI.
What we're going to do today is we're going to do an Ask the Faculty Forum, right, where you could ask any question that you wanted to ask. And we've dragged up our full-time faculty up here to address these questions. Now, we did have an interesting situation in that none of you asked any questions. That means, yeah, cool, right. So let's just pray and we'll all go for coffee. So that means one of two things. Either we have done such a good job of teaching you that we've answered all the questions you have, which are great for us, or more realistically, you guys are so busy trying to get your assignments done that you didn't have time to think of anything to write down, right? Which is probably more like, but that probably doesn't mean that you don't have questions. And so we are going to proceed. We're going to take the risk and we're going to proceed with giving you an opportunity to ask questions. So we have a couple of mic runners that will be available. So just kind of stick your hand up where you are. They will they'll run you a mic. So if you have questions, and as I said, the questions can be really of a variety of nature. You can ask questions about personal spiritual growth, personal issues. You know, if you want to know biographical questions, like where'd you meet your wife or something like that, you can ask that. You can ask, you know, questions about spiritual growth or what the faculty have learned maybe in their personal journeys. You can ask ministry-related questions, maybe how we would handle a particular ministry question or dilemma or issue or that kind of thing. You can ask theological questions, maybe that one question you've always wanted to ask but haven't quite figured out what class to ask that in. And we will do those kind of things. So, you know, there are some questions that this is not necessarily the appropriate venue to answer or to address those questions because of the nature of the question or the amount of context that would be necessary to answer that question. And so there may be a question that if you do ask a particular question, we may all just take a pass on that question because, that's probably not a question that we can necessarily address in this venue, right? So some questions may not be appropriate for this venue. So if you ask something like, you know, what is the most serious sin you have committed while being a faculty at PRBI? You know, I mean, Scott might take a run at it, but the rest of us are probably going to pass, right? So, you know, that kind of thing. So we do have a couple. And if there are no questions, I do have a little bit of a bin here of a few questions that we could ask. There are three kinds of questions in the bins. Questions that might get you fired. Questions that might get me fired. and questions designed to make us look smarter than we really are. Unfortunately, I mixed them up, so I have no idea which one is which, right? So we take our chances, right? So right off the bat, we're just gonna open the floor. I said if there's not questions from the floor, then I'll just pull something from the bin. But if you have a question, just raise your hand. So Brith has one over here. Someone wants to run her a mic. And we will just do our best. You know, maybe one or two of us will address the question, and then we'll move on to the next one. Okay. All right, so let's start. We'll start with Brith.
Hey guys, what's up? Scott, I have a question for you, buddy. So, listen, Acts class, my favorite class of the day, and you're my favorite teacher, you know? And there's this textbook that we have to interact with, and You know, I'm only like 25% done. And I was hoping that maybe if I sweet-talked you enough that you could give an extension on that assignment. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
That's easy. Do you want the answer in one word or several?
I want the answer in one word if the answer starts with Y, has an E in it, and ends with S.
That's a question designed to make us look smarter than we really are.
Okay, no one's going to like the answer, except for Kim. No. See, there, okay. You're always going to have a lot of work, right, in school. You're always going to have a lot of work. So what this assignment was set to do was, and you know, I don't know about you guys, I give this thing at the beginning of the year with all the assignments and the dates that they're due. Maybe you, I don't know, it's a rogue idea. It's a rogue idea, but this assignment was actually intended to kind of free you up because you didn't need to have any knowledge except for how to read right from the beginning. And I am using you as the vast plural here. One needed only to know how to read. There was nothing in the course that unlocked the key to this assignment. So the idea is you could finish this in the first weekend or two and then not put the pressure on yourself in the last week that it was due. So I was actually trying to do you a favor by giving you an assignment like that. And so for the future, a person can think about the way different assignments are set up so that you don't put a pressure on yourself that doesn't have to be there going forward. So that was the idea.
All right. See? There you go. The silly bus is not just the transit that runs from Sexsmith to Grand Prairie. It's something else. Okay. Next question.
All right, guys. Anyone can answer this. I'm just curious. What is it that, as faculty, what is it that bothers you most that students do? Like, just something like, I don't know, but yeah.
Anybody want to take a stab at that one? So the question is, what is it that bothers us most about what students do?
A pet peeve.
What? Which one to choose from, though? Yeah. One has to ask, right?
He's got many pets.
Pet peeve. Yeah, I think that's one of them where it's like, you know, special circumstances have intervened for me not to do the work that I knew I was supposed to do, and now I have some reason that I've cooked up to kind of not do it. That's sort of one of them. You know what I think? Okay, here's one. Like, I don't think there are any stupid questions, but from time to time through the years, there are students who just are kind of, I don't know, trying to get you or say your topic is stupid. We shouldn't even be studying this. And that's hard to answer that. After a while, that just gets tiring, answering that kind of thing. Kim's got one.
Yeah, if you could just give the mic to Madison there, she'll tell you what my pet peeve is. Oh, it's not answering questions, obviously, in class. No, Old Testament 2 people know what I'm talking about, so inside joke. You have to come to Old Testament 2 if you want these kinds of things.
I know one thing that came to mind, you know, and we can go with the standards, you know, like, you know, sleeping in class, pretending like we don't know that you're playing video games in the back row on your computer, right? And that kind of, you know, that kind of stuff. But here's one thing that does sometimes bother me, and it's a little bit different. students that give up. Maybe the semester got off to a bad start, course got off to a bad start, things aren't going well, and they give up, and I go back and look after the thing, and you know what? If you would have kept going, you probably would have passed the class, but you gave up. Right? And that's one thing, you know, it doesn't make me angry at you, but it, sometimes I go, oh, I just wish they wouldn't have given up because they probably would have made it. Right? I mean, I can't guarantee, you know, that you're going to pass, but sometimes you guys give up too early. Okay, next question. Oh, sorry, Scott wants to weigh in.
That's okay. This is pretty general, but one of my pet peeves is when students are like, we shouldn't do this work because it's hard, or like, that was hard to read. It's like, well, why did you come to school? Like, so yeah, it's like but also on the other side of it, it's sort of selling yourself short, like oh, this was so hard to read, and then you show mastery of the content. It's like, well, that wasn't as hard as you thought because you're smarter than you thought. So, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Another one.
So I have a few options here. You guys want to go with theologically heavy or personal with a little bit of theological in it?
We can take it.
Okay.
Do you mean like theoretically?
Yeah, theoretically. Okay, I'll go with the one that I'm slightly more curious about. What has been, and this would be for all or as many as they're willing to answer it, what has been your experience with keeping a Sabbath or not keeping a Sabbath at different points and kind of the reasoning behind it? So
God's word has something to say about this, right? Who was the Sabbath was made for who? The man, right? And we have freedom in Christ, right? Paul talks about this also. What more do I need to say?
I think if you're in my Old Testament one class, you kind of know my theory on this, about the rhythm God has built into a seven-day journey. There's morning, there's evening, and there's morning, and there's a rhythm daily. And then in 7 days, there's a rhythm. And if we're in sync with that rhythm, then keeping the Sabbath is not difficult. I'm not going to sit here and pretend, and I don't think I ever tell the class that I'm perfect in keeping the Sabbath, but I do try to guard it from my regular work. And I see it as a day of recreation, so that could involve recreation. It could involve a time of renewal, prayer, worship, obviously. I think I do that on a regular basis. And, I find it actually makes the weeks go better when I actually do it.
Yeah, I take Friday night and Saturday daytime off, which is technically the Sabbath. And I think I got into that because, like, as a minister, you don't actually have Sundays off. And the priests didn't in the Old Testament. They actually didn't have the Sabbath off either. So they had to do something different with their Sabbath. And to just try to not to do any work. And it's hard because there's always little things I kind of have to do that makes it challenging. But it's nice because on Friday night, I know I'm not going to do anything except something fun or just relax.
Yeah, I guess I kind of agree. It's been, it's interesting being in ministry, like pastoral ministry, where you don't get Sunday off. My wife for 25 years worked as a nurse. So in a shift work rotation, she's not guaranteed a particular day off. And so I do find that there is freedom, and it seems to me that when the New Testament specifically addresses the Sabbath, it seems to be in the context of don't let anybody judge you on the keeping of the Sabbath and this and that. So there seems to be in the New Testament some freedom in terms of how to exercise that concept. you know, but there still is the Old Testament concept of the rhythm, the day of rest, right? And to have those days where you say, you know what, this is enough. It's enough. I've worked enough this week, and I need to rest and rejuvenate. So I've tried to always keep that principle of rest, but in terms of how it works, it has varied. There's been times my Sabbath has been Monday. There's been times my Sabbath has been Friday. There's times my Sabbath has been Saturday. So it's varied depending on our life circumstances. And I think there is, from my perspective anyways, there is freedom in the New Testament to do that, but there is still wisdom in the concept of a Sabbath rest. And so I try to balance those two, really, the wisdom of the concept of the Sabbath rest with the freedom in terms of how we exercise that wisdom in Christ.
For me, the only time that Sabbath has been hard to keep is when I think what I can accomplish will sort of set me on a path, like take care of all my needs that I need to do that. And so the hardest time to keep Sabbath was when I was finishing my degree, thinking that everything depended on me to get a job and have a family and stuff like that. When I realized that Sabbath is also a reminder that God, or is the reminder that God essentially is the provider, I found that all kinds of time and workload was warped in such a way that I had just enough time that I needed, and I got what I needed to get. So Sabbath was kind of a discovery that God really is the creator and has this power over time and even assignments that I don't have, that's not explainable except by his provision.
Thank you.
When you pray, how do you pray?
Help! Anyway, my prayers vary. I mean, sometimes they vary. I do actually sometimes use written prayers. Like I do have, for example, in my morning devotion kind of toolkit, I have a number of like either Bible prayers or the Lord's Prayer or that kind of thing, structure prayers that I will use. And sometimes I find them helpful just to kind of get me focused. They give me words that get me focused, right? But then other times, prayers will be more conversational. And some of my best times are the walking. Like if I really need to pray, then I go for a long walk. Right, and in the context of walking, right? So it will vary. I mean, I will use everything from printed prayers to, to long walks with Jesus kind of prayers, right? And so I try to vary. I do try to vary, and because prayer is something, to be honest, that I do struggle with as a spiritual discipline, so I do try to vary it a bit so that I have a variety of ways of praying.
Yeah, I feel like when I come to a time of prayer, it sort of brings together other things for me, like just figuring out all the things that I haven't done that I need to do. I'll take a moment to write all that stuff down, and then I usually take some more time to just be quiet, because otherwise I just send out words to God. And I have times like that too. I'll have times when I just pray about stuff that I need help with or something that happens. But when I have a more extended period of time to pray, it ends up starting with some scripture reading and kind of silence and sorting out what's going on inside. And then I'll have some thanksgiving, adoration, and then supplication prayers. So.
It depends on how distracted I am. If I'm very distracted, then I go directly to Scripture. And, as Brad said, I have a number of different Scriptures that are kind of go-tos. Even the Lord's Prayer, and I build off of those prayers. It really helps me stay focused and helps me to pray in a broader way. If I'm feeling really in the groove, I just have conversation with God. I think I haven't analyzed this for a while, but I think I just talk and I listen as well. There's moments of silence and I'm just listening to God's word. Something I've introduced in the last couple of years was I have an app now that helps me make sure I'm covering a lot of the things I want to pray about as well, that I don't, you know, you say to somebody, I'm going to pray for you. And I've done that many times in my life and then found out after a while I'm not really praying for them. I haven't thought about them in a long time. So this app, it's not a ball and chain for me, but it's a reminder that you haven't prayed for this person for a while or that missionary or this situation. And so I find it helps me stay on task a little bit more.
So, we're called to pray without ceasing. And when I was here at Bible school, that's something that I endeavor to build into my life. Just as I go through my day and various things come to mind, I tend to pray very intermittently. And I'd say when I actually sit down to pray, oftentimes it's at the piano, and I use improvisation. That's just become a powerful conduit for me as I create music. I also craft my prayers, and it gives me space to hear God's Spirit respond.
Okay. You know, it's kind of, this is good. We don't always talk to each other about this sort of stuff, so I feel like, I might be on the right track. I focus with Scripture. I need it because my own thoughts just go every which way. So I focus in with Lord's Prayer, with Psalms. I like to write my prayers out. I have a journal that I just fill it up. I don't leave any margin space because I want to represent that God has complete say over my day instead of margins that I keep to myself. But then a lot of times if it's at night, the prayer is almost like, it's going to sound stupid, but it's like hailing frequencies are open to God, and then I just go through all the joys in my life. In my heart, and I just express that without words.
Just want to add in, Kim, what app are you using? Prayer Mate. Yeah, interesting. It's the same one I use. Yeah, if you're looking, so I guess we can endorse it. If you're looking for a good prayer, I don't know if you want prayer apps, but if you are looking for a good prayer app, yeah, I guess Kim and I are both using Prayer Mate. I don't know if anybody uses any other ones, but Prayer Mate is actually really good. It's very flexible and it has lots of really helpful tools. So if you are looking for like an app to help you keep your prayers organized, there's lots out there, but Prayer Mate is one that I've used and actually found it to be very helpful in helping me keep my prayers organized and give you a place to put prayer lists and those types of things. Yeah.
Beat Andrew to it. So this one's for the whole panel. You can choose to answer, I guess, if you don't want to, because it's more of a personal one. But how did you propose to your wife?
I can start. I always get the last word. I used a book. That's good. I like that. Not first, no. I actually, Jane and I don't like jewelry, so she didn't even want an engagement ring. That's cost saving. I made a photo book with a story, and then at the very end, I took a picture from one of our dates, and it was kind of represented, sort of come, and I asked if she would marry me. That was Jane.
Yeah, Art. Our whole courtship story was weird because I'll give you the short version. We met on a mission team. We fought for the first year that we were on a mission team. Did not get along. Somebody said, you guys sound like a married couple, and Barb almost strangled the guy that said that. But we just did not get along. We ended up on the same team for the second year, so we sat down and had a heart-to-heart in terms of, if we're going to do ministry together, we got to get along. So we called a truce in September. By November, we were dating. By December, we were engaged, and by June, we were married. So if you get your fights out of the way early, it goes much better. But in terms of proposal, one of the things Barb really likes is giraffes. And so on her birthday, I gave her a gift of about a foot high giraffe, and around the giraffe's neck was a chain with the engagement ring on it.
Where's the giraffe now? Where's the giraffe now? Do you have it at home?
It's still there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it hasn't been shredded. It's good.
Jill and I were students when we got engaged at seminary, and I don't know if our story is all that exciting. She was working at the library, and so I just came after one of her shifts, and I brought what was known at the time as a ghetto blaster, a portable stereo device that I had to buy batteries for. Batteries are really expensive, and I brought some ice cream and some food, and I proposed to her in the library. It's going in a different direction with that. Oh, yeah, and so I think our meeting in some ways was more interesting, and as much as I was a divinity student, which is, where it's like being a pastoral student. It's all a lot of languages and history and systematic theology and stuff like that. And Jill was a counselor, one of the counseling students who made up the majority of the student body of that seminary. And I knew that they could read your minds, and they were witches, right? That had power over people's minds. I still believe that. Power over the mind. Scary. And so that's how we met. We met in John class. And, of course, I teach John today for that only that reason. And, we'd sit at the back and talk. And this is what I always say, is that Jill had a... she was counseled. So if you're going to be a counselor, you don't just learn about counseling. At least at that time, you would counsel your fellow students, and they would counsel you. And honestly, it was quite revealing, and they would delve, and they would tell you were lying if you were lying to them. It was pretty tough. And so she was often crying after her counseling session, and then she'd come to John, and I would comfort her and look after her. So that's...
So was that in the reference section or general stacks? Greek section, maybe. Okay, I've been through this twice. My first time, I was a fourth-year student in Bible College, and had been dating since the third year. And one of the things that we had in our Bible College, you had to have the permission of the dean. So, for example, like I would have had to go to Shane, ask permission. My wife would have had to have gone to her dean of women and asked for permission. So I wanted to avoid that. And so I waited until the day before graduation, and I figured, well, there's no way they can call me back on this one now. So the night before graduation, we went out for a meal, out to a park. There was poetry involved that I didn't write.
Go ahead, give us a little bit.
I can't remember, actually. But the ring was burning a hole in my pocket. I remember that. I remember all through the meal just constantly putting my hand down there. Okay, is the ring still there? Is the ring still there? So I was pretty nervous. When I came here in 2009, I was single. My first wife had passed away, and I'll make this quick. Due to the prayers of Waldy and Sharon, I met my wife, Kimberly, and so it was the least kept secret in all of history that we were headed for engagement. And the day I'd planned to get engaged to Kim, her friend shows up out of the blue, missionary, of course, had to make it all the worse. So it ended up being a little more of a low-key event, but no less significant.
I guess time's up, eh? I think Jess would probably be the one to ask. She probably tells a better account of our engagement, but it was a very natural progression for us when we first started hanging out. Neither of us was in a place where we were looking for a relationship or at least anything more than a friendship. So over the course of about 2 years, we became best friends, and it was just a natural progression. So the actual proposal doesn't sound like much because it was just such a natural progression. We were out for a walk over, I think it was reading break between semesters, my first year of college, and I just dropped down into a snowbank, and I'd been carrying the ring for a while, actually, but realized that, you know, I maybe wasn't... you know, I had some elaborate ideas, but nothing was, I wasn't pulling it together the way I thought I would for a proposal. So, yeah, it just sort of happened very naturally, and I think it was good that way.
All right. So thanks for taking it easy on us, except for breath. And we'll do this again in 20 years. So have a great day.
Hey, this is Jesse, and thanks for tuning in to the PRBI Disciple Making Initiative podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's message. Subscribe to our podcast to get updates on upcoming episodes. If you're an alumni, we would love to connect with you. You can find out more information on our PRBI Facebook page or our website at prbi.edu. Thanks for listening.
PRBI's Disciple Making Initiative.